Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, I'm going to travel down around Handy's Bend in Wilmore, Kentucky, and talk about the lives of W.E. and June Poor Lowry. We'll talk to two of their daughters after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue down the road of learning about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Today we're going to talk about a couple who many people know for several reasons. One, because of the area of the county they lived in, down the Wilmore area. Two, because the lady of the house was a school teacher, and the gentleman of the house was a farmer and did other things too. So we're going to talk about today W.E., and I think that stands for William, if I'm correct, and June Poor Lowry. And we have this morning two of the three daughters. I think that's correct, isn't it? I have Billy and I have Grace with me, and the third being Georgia, but we'll get more into the kids in just a moment. Welcome and glad you're here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We are going to talk about mom and dad a little bit and the family as a whole, too. But I guess the best way to start is let's start with him. Tell us how he got to be in this world, where he was born and to who and when, and just some background on him. Now, let me ask you right off the bat. Well, how do you want me to refer to him in this program? The reason is he had a nickname.
Well, when he was 8 years old,
yeah,
he had a lot of freckles, and they started calling him Speck.
And I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got the name.
From the freckles.
So S-P-E-C-K.
Uh-huh.
And I guess everybody I ever knew called him that.
Sure.
All right. So let's talk about William Edward Speck Lowry. And it's spelled L-O-W-R-Y. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I should probably say that Daddy's family has been in this county for a really long time.
Yeah.
The Lowrys, John Lowry, came here in 1730.
Wow.
With his wife from Virginia. And their son, Patrick, was in the Virginia militia. Of course, Kentucky was still Virginia at that time.
Right.
And he was in the Virginia militia in the 1750s.
And Kentucky, for those kids out there that hasn't been taught this yet, wasn't even a commonwealth until, 1792. So 60 years
yes.
before. Why did they come to this area? Do you know?
I do not know.
Okay.
I do know that they stayed in this area down through the years. A lot of the Lowry families have been buried in the Lowry Cemetery, mm-hmm. which is a little block on South Lexington Avenue in between the seminary and the Presbyterian Church.
Yeah, okay.
The stoned-in area
yeah.
is the Lowry Family Cemetery.
All right.
Now, at one time, probably in the later, after the Civil War, they owned a lot of land around.
Mm-hmm.
They owned land from Handy's Bend all the way to Wilmore.
Wow.
And all the way to Glass's Mill.
That's a big
huge chunk.
Huge chunk probably
of land.
Could have been out of land grants, maybe,
could
that was
been.
Issued because of military
right.
service and
we
things
don't know.
Like that. Okay.
But all this land was owned by an uncle,
uh-huh.
and he had no children. But there were six Lowry boys, brothers. There were also six half-brothers that were in the mix, mm-hmm. and one daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So the uncle took all this land and divided it up into farms and gave a farm to each of the boys and bought a house in town for the girl. Now, the house he bought was the Hendren property. Many people know Virgil Hendren, mm-hmm. who was the custodian at Wilmore.
For years.
That house was bought by the uncle for this Jane, the
right.
sister, the daughter,
right.
the one daughter. So over time, all the land around, people talk about the John Lowry place or the, different places. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the farm that my grandparents bought and lived for most of their married life,
mm-hmm.
and we grew up, our grandparents were there, was a farm that touched the corner of the farm that Mother and Daddy owned, and that also was a Lowry farm at one time.
Wow.
The sad part of that story is that between the First World War and the big flu epidemic, most of those brothers were wiped out.
Yeah.
So right. We don't have a lot of close cousins on Daddy's mm-hmm. side mm-hmm. because so many of them died. Many, you know, some without children.
All right, so they end up here, and they end up with a lot of land over mm-hmm. there. I'm assuming the parcels that was given away eventually filtered down to your dad.
Okay, well, yeah.
That's the farm you all grew up on, I guess, and it was right. down around Andy's Bend, is that right?
Well, the Andy's Bend farm, my grandparents lived.
Yeah.
And the corner of their farm touched the farm that belonged to my dad.
Yeah, okay.
And it faces High Bridge Road.
Yes, okay, all right.
Okay, so...
That's the one with the big tree down at the... Is there a story about a tree that he planted?
Yes.
With his... Yes. Was his father okay. or grandfather?
When he was a child, they planted an acorn. They planted an oak tree yeah. in the front yard.
Yeah.
And in his later... I mean, the tree grew and
right.
so did he.
Right.
Of course, the tree grew a lot more than he did. But we have a picture of him
yeah.
standing next to the tree that he planted with his father
when he was a little boy.
Yeah.
Now he grew up in Wilmore all his life.
Yes.
He was, I'm sure. Did he graduate from Wilmore High?
Well,
did he go through all school?
He did. He went to Wilmore High School.
Yeah.
He was not a tall man at all, but he played basketball for 3 years
for the Wilmore Bearcats. For
now,
the Bear, and
I don't think
Coach Maxwell. No, it wouldn't have been Bill Maxwell. I'm not sure. Okay,
I don't know, but I'm sure he was not the center because he was pretty short.
But he gave it his all. That's
he gave
what
a
matters.
Shot, and then after he graduated from high school. Uh-huh. He has a story about working at the state fair, the Kentucky State Fair, and sleeping under the bleachers with some other boys from Wilmore who had gone down there to work in the fair.
Wow.
And then after graduating high school, he and another buddy went down to St. Petersburg, Florida, and worked in the cafeteria down there for a few months.
Just, really?
So those were kind of his big adventures before the war.
Yeah.
Well, now in 42... He, you know, got a notice to go to the war, but his mother was dying of cancer. And so he got a 30-day extension,
uh-huh.
and she died during that time.
Really?
So he went to war 2 weeks after his mother died.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's change gears for
okay.
a minute, because eventually we're going to get these two together.
Uh-huh.
Go to your mom's side now.
Okay.
Tell about when she was born, and she
okay.
was a poor, is that right?
She was a poor.
Mm-hmm.
So she was born in a house that stood where the Wilmore Water Tower stands now.
Okay.
Then her parents moved when she was about six or so down to a farm that was between Wilmore and Classes Mill
mm-hmm.
in a big curve there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling a story about, of course, my grandfather was, let me back up. My grandfather was big into horses, horse trader, you know, those kinds of things. And so we always had horses on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells a story about when she was about six and she was riding her grandfather's yellow mare down at this farm. And the horses in the next farm got to running, and so she thought maybe she was supposed to be running too, and so they took off. Well, her horse got to going too fast, and so she reached up and grabbed a branch and swung out off the horse
mm.
when she was six.
Six.
So feisty when she was little.
Wow. And was that way always?
Yeah. Still is some days.
Yeah, right.
And she one thing she remembered from there, of course, that was down near the Wilmore camp meeting, and she
yeah.
remembered her mother taking her to the camp meeting when she was a little girl.
So would she also have graduated from Wilmore High?
She... Yes.
A lot of the poors were over from around 33 in Woodford County,
okay.
right?
Okay. Her parents moved from that farm to what was at that time called the College Farm.
Yeah, okay.
And now it's
okay.
you know,
all right.
something else. But she went... So she started at Wilmore Elementary, and then she went
yeah.
to Pekin School, which is at the corner of 33 there.
Yes.
And so she went up through 8th grade there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, went to Wilmore High School.
Now, is that where she met your dad?
Well... With the farms touching, she always knew my dad.
He
was a few years older than she was,
okay.
and she said their first date was a double date with Bud and Wallene Brumfield, who were neighbors
uh-huh.
there, and they went to the theater in Nicholasville.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a you know a big date to go to the theater.
So that's how it all started.
So they saw a movie, and that's how it started.
Now, after she got out of high school, did she go on to college then
okay.
to get her, teaching degree, I guess?
Right. Okay. She started at Asbury, and she did 3 years there.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was doing that, Of course, this was getting into the war years. And so they were having trouble finding a teacher. Well, she had been helping a lady named Miss Hinkle, who was a teacher at Wilmore High School. Mm-hmm. And she would go and help her grade her papers. And so when they couldn't find a teacher, they hired Mother on an emergency certificate with only 3 years of college to teach math.
Okay.
Well, you can imagine that she was teaching her contemporaries. I mean, sure, they were three years younger, and she'd gone to school with them.
Right.
And so she has some stories about them quoting the verse about the poor always being with you, because she was a poor. And she tells a story about being up. She was a short woman, you know, small anyway. Yes. So many of her students were taller than she was. So she's up at the board, and she's waving her hands, and she's working, and she feels both of her slip straps pop.
Oh,
and
no.
And so one of her students begins to sing, "June is busting out all over," which, of course, was a song of the day. So she had to deal with some harassment being a teacher. Well, she taught on that emergency certificate and continued teaching after that for years. Mm-hmm. And it was not until 1962, with going through summer schools and those kinds of things, that she finally finished her degree. So it took her 22 years to get a teaching certificate.
To get a regular degree.
Yeah.
And then how many years did she teach after that?
Well, she taught on until 1981.
Wow.
She retired. And she stopped then because my grandmother was not in good health.
Yeah.
And so she...
Long time. Remember her well. I remember her walking into the pod, they used to call it, at Jessamine Junior High, which is now, folks, the Village. And back then it was a junior high, and they had these pods, and each pod had the subject, basically, that you were going to learn. I remember you'd walk into that main door, and the first two rooms was the sixth grade math. Seventh grade would be your middle two doors. Eighth grade, and I think she taught, did she eighth grade, wasn't that?
Yeah, she taught eighth grade math.
In that pod. So she's a teacher, and he is doing what when they got together?
When he came back from the war, of course, his mother was gone, and the last year he was in the war, his father also passed.
Oh, no.
So he came home to an older sister and the family farm.
Yeah.
Now, his grandfather was still living there at the time, but he was older. And so instead of getting a job like many people coming out of the war did, you know, and or going to college or any of that, Daddy took over the family farm. Mm. That was what people did. Mm-hmm. He was real cognizant of the heritage of his family and the long time, you know, the value of the land.
Right.
And so he took on the family farm, and he was a real reader. And so he self-educated himself. You know, he did not go on to college, but he was a bright man, well-read. His father died in October, and I think they married in December. It was close after that.
Well, at some point in time, and I'm going to switch over to your sister here for a minute, Grace. At some point in time, I guess they decided it was time to start a family. So tell me about you kids in order, who came when, and kind of who's the oldest. Now, if Georgia Ruth was here, she would be quick to tell me who was the oldest, I'm sure. Which one is it?
Well, I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
I was born in November of 49.
Okay.
Billy was born in May of 52. Mm-hmm. And then Georgia came along in September of 62.
62. Yeah, yes. Big gap there. So when you came along as the first child, he was farming, she was teaching.
Yes.
And that's what you, all of you, basically knew all of your lives.
Yes.
Did they lived in that same farm down there that where he basically had grown up? Boy, I tell you what, you think about it. I don't know that there are many families in our county that can say that they can trace their farm back as far as you all. I mean, that's quite a ways. Now, one thing I did want to ask before I get too far on to you guys. She was a poor. Now, she related to Boots Braden. Wasn't Boots a poor?
Yes. Now, she was our grandfather, Hansel Poor's sister.
Okay.
So she would have been our great aunt.
Great aunt. And then, of course.
And she was a great aunt to everybody.
Yes, she was. She's an amazing lady. And then, of course, Kurt Poor's family was all related to you also.
Now, Kurt's father, Clayton, was a brother to Hansel.
All right.
And,
all right.
There's several brothers.
So Kurt and your mom and Boots were all first cousins.
No, Boots was their aunt.
Oh, Boots. was an aunt. Yeah, okay. No,
Kurt was our first cousin.
Okay. Now, tell us about yourself. We'll start with you, and then we'll go to Billy, and then Georgia Ruth. What have you been doing with all of your life since 1949?
Oh, well, I, too, graduated from Wilmore Elementary, mm-hmm. Jessamine County High School, Asbury College. Mm-hmm. I became a teacher, and I taught in Louisville, and then I taught in Mississippi, and then I taught in Wilmore, and then back in Mississippi. Different times I've taught grades 1 through 9.
Yeah.
Now, from 82 on, I've been back in Jessamine County.
Did you pretty much know growing up, I guess because of your mom, that that's what you wanted to do?
Well, when we were growing up, a woman who went to college, well, a woman became a teacher, a nurse, a secretary, or a stay-at-home mom, which is certainly a full-time job,
sure,
too.
Sure, yeah.
But there weren't all the options that young women today would have had.
Yeah, and you're right. That was, and not, I'm not trying to sound sexist, but that was known as the women job.
That was.
Although now, my wife's a nurse, there's as many male nurses, I guess, as there are women and teachers and all of those things now, and as many women doing what used to be male jobs now as there was. Yeah, so you were kind of limited, I guess. Well, maybe not by choice, but that's the way it was back then.
And of the three, I certainly chose the one I was most suited for.
Sure.
I knew I didn't want to be a nurse.
Yeah, it's hard work. It's,
right, they're all hard in their own way, but that would not have been my strong.
So you're 49, and then this one came along, Billy.
Right.
And you have a little sister to pick on. Now, Billy was born when?
In 52.
All right. So, Billy, what kind of like she did, you went into education also.
I did. I did. When I was little, I too thought I might be a nurse, but then I realized I really don't like the sight of blood.
Yeah.
So that was kind of off the table. I did start teaching at Warner Elementary here in the county.
Now, was that when it was the original Warner?
Right.
In the same building where the junior high was, which is now the village.
Yeah, it was on the other side of the junior high.
Yes.
I started there in 73. And
Heck, that's when it opened, right?
It opened in 72.
Yeah, okay.
And I started there in 73.
Yeah.
And taught third grade for 7 years, and I taught 4, 5, 6 for a year, because that was during the time that they were, you know, multi-aging. And then all the years after that, until I retired, I taught, or I was the librarian.
Yeah. Why did that come about?
Well, when I went back to get a master's, of course, you're required to do it in some area. And I, when we were kids, and Mother was teaching at Wilmore Elementary, the principal, Mr. Glass, Dan Glass, asked her if she would kind of take on getting the library organized, too, because at that time you had a room full of books, but we didn't have a full-time person. So after school, after she'd done her schoolwork, she would go into the library and kind of get things organized there. So I remember curling up in, you know, in those big old wooden cabinets with a book. And, of course, you know, we had all of the school library's books at our disposal.
Sure.
So both of us were always big readers.
Yeah.
And so becoming a librarian was a natural.
Yeah.
And so I did that.
That was quite a few years.
Yeah, it was a long time. Altogether, I taught 27 years full-time, and then I job shared my library job another 6. So,
all right, Grace, I'm going to hop back to you to talk about the baby. Now, you know, you guys, two girls, it was all your life. And then 10 years later, you're 10 years old, you're about 12. Mm-hmm. Mama has an announcement. And here comes the third one. Tell us about Georgia.
We were surprised, but she was enough younger where we didn't resent her, but we really didn't get to know her until we all became adults.
Yeah,
I was teaching fifth graders when she was a fifth grader.
Yeah,
and
so it was almost like she had three mamas, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
four, and our grandmother figured largely in our upbringing, too.
But the 10-year difference, even though it doesn't sound like a long time, it is. There's 9 years between my wife and I, and every once in a while, it really doesn't make a lot of difference until you get to talking about how you feel. I joke that, you know, she can't appreciate right now how I feel at my age, and she won't, because when she becomes my age, I will be that much older, and I'll be at a whole nother level. She'll never get to understand really where I'm at. But yeah, that 10 years. So you guys kind of, you had a little, almost a little girl. You had practice in raising her to a point, I would suppose.
Well, and if I could jump in, one of the differences is in your memories. You, you know, we would remember where we were when man walked on the moon.
Yes.
And when Kennedy was assassinated. And,
yes.
And historical memories. And I don't know about those two specific ones, but
right.
there would be just background information that we did not share.
What's Georgia been doing?
Georgia also graduated from the Jessamine County mm-hmm. Schools. Mm-hmm. She graduated from Asbury. She thought she wanted to be a teacher, but she's been working at Fayette County Clerk's Office.
She's been there a long time.
Forever.
She probably is close to or over a retirement, mm-hmm. I would say.
She could.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, she kept the nursery at the Nicholasville Christian Church for many years. So anybody who came up through the Nicholasville Christian Church probably had her at some point in the nursery.
Always very pleasant in high school. I remember Georgia was one of those. We graduated together. Uh-huh. Very personable. Very personable. Wasn't,
and she still is.
Yeah. Wasn't boisterous at all. Just mm-hmm. very nice. Not real quite as a mouse, but, you know, uh-huh. but just very nice and pleasant to be around. I always appreciated Georgia. So you got the three girls. Now, the farming goes on. The teaching goes on. So we know that they did that basically all their lives. I want to ask you about a couple of things that I particularly know about. Tell us about the circus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of people, especially who live in Wilmore and have for years, can associate that with your farm and your family. So one of you tell us how that all came about.
Oh, what was the year, Billy?
Okay, it came twice.
Yeah.
The Carson and Barnes Circus was sponsored by the Wilmore Lions Club.
Which Speck was a member of for a long time, wasn't he? Was he in the Lions Club?
He was more into the American Legion.
That's right.
That's what he was in.
He
joined there shortly after out of the war and was active with it up until he died.
And a side note on that. This is what I love about this program. You're talking about memories. Every once in a while, it kicks one in my mind. In 1986, he was on the group that raised the money to build the Veterans Monument on the courthouse yard. I was very honored to be asked to lead that. And I still have a picture of us sitting in the courtroom, all of us guys, and he's in it, and they've got their hats on, their American Legion hats. Very active in that and very supportive of that.
Actually, he was also active in the group that went to Frankfort and got it secured to have the Veterans Nursing Home in Jessamine County.
Now, that would have been, oh gosh,
was the early
80s? Was it 90s?
Was it early 90s? I'm not sure. But I know that, that he was real instrumental with that.
Yeah.
And then, as soon as it was built, he volunteered escorting patients to doctor's appointments and to the VA hospital and put over 2,000 hours in of volunteer hours.
Wow.
And has his name on the plaque, and, you know, because he was very active with that.
Boy, that was a great asset to come into Wilmore,
yeah.
Wasn't it? I remember Joe Bears was the representative mm-hmm, at mm-hmm. that time.
Joe.
And he covered part of Jessamine and Woodford County. And I remember when that came about, that was just an amazing thing. And it was amazing that we were able to have it in our county and in Wilmore. Been a great, great contribution to this community.
And one year, Daddy rode in the Veterans Day Parade
uh-huh.
in honor of his
what
service
about that?
There, which is he was tempted to do that.
All right, I got you off track. Circus.
All right. The circus. In the early 80s, a couple of years, the Wilmore Lions Club sponsored the Carson and Barnes Circus. Mm-hmm. It was a tent circus, five rings. It was a big deal. They rolled into town.
The elephants put the tents up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, the old
yes.
time.
Old time.
Like you'd see in the movies.
Right.
Yeah.
They came to our farm because Daddy had big open field space,
yeah.
And he also had a big pond so they could water all the animals.
Okay.
Because in addition to the elephants and, you know, the horses and, you know, and they
right.
also had a menagerie of animals just to see, mm-hmm. you know. So it was a big deal. The schools sent busloads of kids out to watch them putting up the tent. Our kids were very small
yeah.
and sat on the front porch and watched all day, you know, watched the elephants and all going up. And of course, one of the highlights for them was that they, in addition to getting to see the circus, they also had elephant rides, and so they, some of them got to ride on the elephants. So it was an exciting time.
Yeah, I guess so. And you said it came back again.
It came. It was in 82 and again in 84.
Wow. And I bet he was proud to be able to have that there on the farm.
I still have a poster that they had in their home that, said, W.E. Lowry Farm. You know,
right.
He was very,
very
pleased.
Proud of that.
Yeah.
You mentioned your kids. Something I forgot to ask you about. How many grandkids are there?
Okay, well, I have one son, Jason. Uh-huh. He is the webmaster for the Lexington Public Libraries.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh, and his wife, Heather, is also a Jessamine County girl, and, uh-huh. and she manages the practice for the Arthritis Center. And they have two children. Beverly is 12, and Elias is 1.5.
I had two daughters. My daughter, Betsy, mm-hmm. is currently a teacher at the Core Academy in Lexington, mm-hmm. and I lost my older daughter, Maggie, mm-hmm. Last year to cancer.
Yeah. Now, did they have kids?
No.
Okay. And Georgia didn't have any children. So you had two, you have one. There's three grandkids.
Now,
right?
I would like to mention I have three stepdaughters.
Oh, yeah.
And a total of seven grandchildren from
yes.
my stepdaughters.
Yes, yes. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. You count them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just as much as the regular ones. All right. At some point in time, then, Beck had some health problems, I guess. Let's talk about that.
He did. Later on in life, he developed problems with kidney disease, kidney
yeah.
failure.
Yeah.
He was on dialysis for a number of years. Mother was very supportive and very constant. She took him every trip. She mm-hmm. sat in the waiting room through every dialysis, and he was on dialysis for about 6 years.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I should say about my mother is she's always busy. And so how she filled her time when she was in the waiting room is she made Bible puzzles.
I was going to ask you about those because I have yeah. seen them. I've been given them uh-huh. by her. Like a crossword type puzzle.
Mother is a woman of great faith.
Yes.
And always has been.
Yeah.
And when her world, when she was so involved with Daddy's, she was not able to go and do
yeah.
so many of the things that she had done previously. And so making these word search puzzles were her mission.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she enjoyed giving them out to people
yes.
and talking to people about her faith through them. So that was kind yeah. of her ministry in her later life. Now, early on, she was very involved with giving people. I can remember my grandfather, Hansel Poor, mm-hmm. delighted in giving. He was a real people person.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he loved to do at Christmas was he gave out homemade candy. And my grandmother and mother spent hours and hours and hours making, candy on a marble, cream candy
yeah.
on a marble,
oh, yeah.
and all that,
yeah.
and all different kinds. And he would take these plates of candy yeah. around everywhere. Well, then, when he passed, Mother continued that tradition. She made cinnamon rolls for people.
Yeah.
And her cinnamon rolls were legend. And then when she was not able to do that anymore,
yeah.
the next generation of that are her Bible puzzles.
Puzzle.
And she continues to this day.
I actually have walked into my office and found one laying on my desk where she had been there. Maybe I wasn't there, and she had come in for some reason, maybe get her driver's license, and left one for me, or see her in the courthouse or something. Yeah.
Right.
How old was Speck when he passed?
He was almost 92.
Almost. And how old is she?
She is 92 right now.
Wow.
So we come from good genes.
Yeah, that's right. 92, and she's mm-hmm. 92. Let me ask you both a question, and I'm going to ask you this about each of them. And I don't care who answers first, and you may have different answers. One word describes Speck Lowry. Let me ask you this. Let me ask it a different way first. What's a word you think he would want to be remembered as? Then what word would you describe him as?
Well, I knew you were going to ask this because I listened to your show. I think Daddy was determined.
Yeah.
He came back to circumstances that probably were not his first choice.
Yeah.
But he respected his heritage, and he was determined to continue with the tradition of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that, I think he was determined. Now, what I would say about him is, living in a house full of women, he was pretty quiet.
He had no choice.
Now, he had a dry wit, and if you got him talking,
yeah.
he could tell some tales.
Yeah.
And he was very bright. But he's pretty quiet when he was at home.
What about you, Grace?
Well, to that, I'd like to say that he got his conversational fix at the men's coffee club, which met at Fitch's for many years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in the earlier trips, I think even though war was a terrible thing, I think he enjoyed the camaraderie of being with a group of like-minded young men.
And you know, I guess, I've not been in the military, but I would assume military is much like what I hear about police and fire. It's a brotherhood. And, you know, once in, you're connected for your life. Mm-hmm. And just to have those common experiences that maybe you really don't feel comfortable even talking to anybody else about, you can with them. Oh, the stories that I'm sure could be told about conversations at Fitch's, and I don't know if he hung out at like at Clay's Tankersley's or the hardware store anywhere like that, but I'd say he could tell a lot of stories about things that were said and done at some of those places for sure.
Now, he was considered the wise old man of the group. Yeah. I'm sure he didn't take center stage, but when he spoke, they listened.
They listened. Oh, you start with your mom. How do you think she, in a word or two, would want to be remembered by this community?
I think devotion really serves to describe her, and I've got to admit that was Billy's word because we talked about this in the car. But she was and is very devoted to her family. And even more than that, she's very devoted to God. And what she would most want is to be able to share that devotion with those she meets.
Is that how you would describe her as a mom, too?
Or is really wanted what was best for us and did everything in her power to help us find that.
And since you all talked about it, I'm assuming that's what you would say too.
Yeah, and I'd also say she was a worker.
Yeah.
She was, I can remember, you know, in addition to teaching, and she was very involved with my grandparents and was always down there and helping with that and often had a second job. I know she was a bookkeeper at the sewing factory in Wilmore back when it was still in the upstairs of the City Hall building.
Yeah. That was prior to being to Cocoa.
Right, right.
In fact, just last week we did a program. It's funny how this all ties together on Roger and Mildred Williams, who Mildred was a supervisor at that same sewing factory for years. They probably may have worked together.
Probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was always busy. She was never one to sit down and watch TV and, you know, nod off. She was always busy.
To this day, it's hard for her to just sit.
Oh, I'm
sure. She has to be busy.
Right.
That's more challenging.
Of course, I was honored to know them both. And I remember your dad, as you said, you nailed that when you said that, you know, being quiet. But when he said something, you listened because he meant it. I mean, he was very thoughtful about what he said, and he was very serious about it. Very pleasant guy, always to me. And, of course, your mom. You know, there are still people today who, when we discuss school, it's funny how it takes age to appreciate what you had. And people that, and I never had her as a teacher, but I knew her. But the students that I can remember that I went to school with, that in discussions, it'll come up about teachers, and they always have great memories of your mom teaching
them. She was really ahead of her time in some way. She was very devoted to her students, mm-hmm. and she really believed in individualizing for students, which was you know,
that was new.
Not the style at that time.
Right.
But I can remember as a child, you know, that you get a new textbook and she'd go through and tear out the old ones, and these talks about fractions and these talk about decimals, and oh, you're having trouble with fractions, here, very very student oriented at a time that was not yet there for education.
And she believed that everybody could learn, and mm-hmm. she really encouraged, as she says, the shy ones mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. feel free to ask questions.
Well, I can tell you that I certainly appreciated them, knowing your dad and knowing her. And I know a lot of people in Wilmore do, too. And we appreciate you all putting this on record for us as we kind of preserve the history of different people in our community. Wish her well for us, if you will. Pass along our best wishes. And thank you so much for coming in and sharing these stories about W.E. We call him Speck, lovingly, as I never knew about the freckles, and I'm glad to learn that. And I've actually heard her referred to as Mama June Lowry from Wilmore. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks to Billy and Grace for coming in and sharing about their family and what it has meant to our community. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning also and sharing in all things Jessamine. Hope you'll come back next Saturday at 11 when we'll do it again. And also tune in to my regular show every weekday morning from 6 to 8 right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.